So thanks for coming out this morning. Welcome to Chicago. This was the view of an apartment I used to rent, and we're all loving Chicago right now. Come back in February, and this is what it is, and I don't think you love Chicago as much. Great. So let's talk about predictors of HIV testing in pediatric and young adults in the emergency department, specifically our emergency department at the John H. Stroger Hospital of Cook County here in Chicago. I have nothing to disclose. Nobody has trusted me with any of their money, so nothing to talk about there. Additional authors are Dr. Teddy Misuyu. He's a 30-year pediatric resident, also involved in the project. He'll be pursuing a fellowship in pediatric critical care. Dr. Kari Kari, again, a 30-year resident, will also be pursuing a fellowship in pediatric cardiology. Dr. Kenneth Soyemi, he's actually, in between the residents, we call him our research guru, because he's been pushing us to do a lot of research and really been a huge support for us, and he's here today accompanying me. And Dr. Lisa Henry Reed, she's the division head of the Division of Adolescence and Young Adult Medicine at Stroger Hospital of Cook County. She devotes her life to fighting for the adolescents and young adults here in Chicago, especially when it comes to HIV. So let's get a sense of what we're looking at here in Chicago. Chicago is a pretty big city, and we are fortunate to have a very good health department. And this comes from their HIV STI surveillance report that they published this year, with the statistics from 2014 up to the 30th of September. We can see the trend of HIV from 1990 up until 2014. The interesting thing that I wanted to focus on is the blue line is HIV infectious diagnoses. We can see how in the early ages of the disease, how, you know, it's gone up, come down, and then it went up again around 2000, and then it's steadily kind of moving down. Another thing to focus on this very busy sliding because of time restraints is death among those who are living with HIV and AIDS, which is that yellow line. And we see that, fortunately, we're happy to see that that's been going down. And being on the background, we have that bar graph, which tells us how many of the individuals who concurrently have an HIV AIDS diagnosis. And we see that bar graph is going up. So specifically focusing on the population that I'm personally interested in, the adolescents and children, again, their table of their surveillance that the Department of Public Health of Chicago have published, we can see that in 2009, children less than 13 to 19, and then from their 20s, how we can follow the trend of how many patients have been diagnosed with HIV here in Chicago. And then we can focus on the estimated annual percentage changes. And even though the graph of the previous slide shows optimistic results that diagnoses are going down or are plateauing or being steady, if we focus on this population, we can see that that's mostly not the case, especially with their individuals from their 20 to 24. We can see that their rates of their number of diagnoses, specifically from 2012 to 2013, jumped from 130 to 242. And then we can again see this presentation in a graphical form where this is an area of concern in this population. Then we're seeing the individuals from 24 to 29 years old, how they have higher rates of HIV infection and the years they've been diagnosed. Focusing on those less than 13, those are most likely perinatal infection, perinatal exposures at our hospital at Stroger. We have a referral center from our core center, which is our infectious disease center, where when a pregnant mother with HIV is going to deliver, we are told, and us pediatric residents, we're in the front line at the delivery. We deliver these babies, and we're in charge of doing the intervention of giving them the AZT at 1 year of life, making sure that they're properly cleaned before we inject the vitamin K, and we have to draw labs to make sure that they can subsequently follow what their PCR is and see if they eventually do have a if they infected HIV perinatally or not. So we're really proud to be in the front lines of that. So when we see the national data, as most of you are probably familiar with, we see that youth make up just 17% of our population, but 26% of all new HIV infections, back to the CDC reported in 2010 data. And we do have disparities, especially among the MSM population, the homosexual and bisexual men who have sex with men. And 19% of all new HIV infections are in the population are from this demographic. And 72% of new HIV infections are among the youth who are also MSM. African American youth are 57% of the new HIV infection. So again, a huge, huge disparity. And Hispanic and Latinos are pretty much the same, around 20%. So our study objectives when we decided to do this study was to review the factors that influence HIV testing in the pediatric emergency room, especially our emergency room at Stroger. It is of a high public health importance because when we looked at the 2012 data, again, we're looking at the pre-Affordable Care Act times, and we were seeing that we had a lot of these individuals who used our ER as their primary care setting. And especially among the residents, we knew that if you were on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning, that you were on the STI shift because everyone came in at that time, either convenience or they just maybe had an encounter, or that's probably the time they could come or they were shy to our emergency room seeking services. So we know one-third of the ongoing transmission of HIV in the U.S. from those that are unaware of their HIV status. Again, we know adolescents, they think they're invincible. When they have an encounter with a person, they have sex with a person, you can't tell if that person has HIV or not. Usually either they don't know that they're infected. Also, we of other research that I've assisted with, when we map sexual networks of these youth, we see that individuals know they are HIV positive and they still don't care. And there's a lot of applications like Grindr, where they can be in a public area like this, go on the application and see who wants to hook up, you know. And in some will even actually say, I'm HIV positive. And some people will just go ahead and, you know, and feel that they're invincible and they can go ahead and have an encounter. And then RED, usually the only access to care for some adults. So a lot of these people were without health insurance, or again, because of the convenience of a weekend or at 2 in the morning, they can come stop by and seek services. So the methods for our study, we did a chart review of all the clinical encounters from the pediatric emergency room of Cook County from January to December from patients that were 13 to 24 years old. So we went to HIS and said we want everyone who walked in the room to emergency room from this age range. So we go ahead and we focused on 13 to 24 years old, and we got those encounters and we submitted. We had a team where we divided those encounters into this team of other residents. And also community workers in the hospital that do interventions with our youth, and they did a chart review. Basically going through the chart and seeing what was the encounter, why did that individual come to the emergency room? And there were some factors that we were looking at. For example, we were wanting to determine if they were eligible for HIV testing, and if they were eligible, did they get tested for HIV? So how we determined eligibility was, at first we saw, okay, did this person have an HIV test in the last 2 years? Or is there any documentation that this person had an HIV test in the last 2 years? Our Division of Adolescence has very good programs where they go in the community and do testing at schools, at community centers. So a lot of these youth did say, hey, Chirpy came over, or this group came over, and they tested me a couple months ago last year. I'm negative, but we don't have a file in our EMR, so we had to go and see through the history and see if there's a documentation of saying, yes, this person did have an HIV test or not, even though we did not have the results. So did the encounter focus on a complaint suggestive of an STI, and if it was an HIV test ordered? So did this young woman come in, 17 years old, complaining of vaginal discharge, and did we do an HIV test or not? So that was one of the comments that we're looking at. Also, did this person come in with vaginal discharge, did get blood drawn for whatever reason, and did we go ahead and test HIV at that time? And also HIV testing offered to youth that were participating in high-risk behaviors but came in for unrelated STI or GU complaints. So we do what's called a head history with our adolescents, where we really focus on their sexual history. And if we said if someone came in for maybe a fracture or a headache or whatnot, and if we in their history said that they had multiple sexual partners, they did endorse unprotected sex, they did endorse that they had an HIV test or STI screening, did we go ahead and make the effort to educate the patient and really enforce that, okay, we have you here now, let's go ahead and let's get an STI or HIV test. And again, did that person have a venous puncture? Because the biggest, so in our institution, we only test HIV through blood samples. So a big barrier that we have is that a lot of you say, you know what, I don't like needles, don't poke me, I came for something else, you know, you're a nuisance, don't talk about needles. So if we already are going to get maybe IV hydration or give them IV medication, we're going to have a view come true. Then that'll be the opportunity to break down that barrier or to avoid that barrier not there, that we can go ahead and get the HIV test. We did a multivariate analysis using logistical regression to explore the effects of these predictors and our HIV rates. So we had an N of 1,930. Of those, we found that 1,598 or 82% were found to be eligible for HIV testing. So we found the chart review that these individuals did not have an HIV test in the last 2 years, had a venous puncture that these individuals could have HIV testing, maybe came in for something like a GU complaint or a venereal disease complaint, or did not come for a venereal disease complaint and were eligible for testing. All those eligible, we only tested 18%. So this is a very drastic number of people we missed. We also went in for internal information. We even see which supervising attending was on shift during that time, and for internal controls where we can also educate our supervising attending staff. So the 280 people that were tested, we found out that 63% were females, 85% were between the age of 18 to 24, 65% were African American, 31% were tested during the summer season, and 38% were tested during the second shift. So that was about in the afternoon, around between 4 p.m. and 12. So in our multivariate analysis, we came up that what were predictors for HIV testing? Were they being African American with an odds ratio of 1.9 was a predictor, being female of an age category between 18 and 24 years old, and also and those were simply predictors of HIV testing. So in our discussion, we again, like you saw on the graph, we concluded that HIV testing is very low among eligible patients, and we weren't testing people that needed to be tested. This helped us identify the need for active staff intervention, both from the attending physicians and also to the resident physicians. And also this came about to help us go with our HIS system to our electronic medical record and program prompts, where we put an order for a patient where the system does not recognize an HIV test in our record to prompt us before we can move on to say, hey, this person is eligible for an HIV test. Do you want to go ahead and order an HIV test right now? And just a click that we can go ahead and order the HIV test. And then we also started having a lot more information about HIV, why we routinely test for HIV around the emergency room in multiple languages, both in the adult emergency room and also in our pediatric emergency room. So this was in the waiting room, in the individual encounter rooms, and also around the hallways of the emergency room. So our increased HIV testing rates will lead to early identification and direction to care for patients identified as infected. So that's our biggest problem, is that, like you know, people that are infected, they know they're infected, they infect a lot of people, especially the youth. We have a place called the Ruth M. Rolstein Core Center, where it is a building that's dedicated to infectious disease. The infectious disease that they look at is HIV. We have a specific clinic just for HIV-infected youth, where we have PharmDs, we have social workers, we have community workers, we have dentists. We also have specialized OBGYNs in the same building that see HIV-infected women that are pregnant. And these services also go up to the adults as well. So this is a kind of one-stop shop, one-roof place, where there is a lot of research, a lot of support for individuals that are infected with HIV, being youth or being adults. So I have four minutes left. Any questions? Yes. Yes, so in Illinois, you do have to have a verbal consent for HIV testing. That's part of our care set. When we order the HIV test, we have to collect that we did have a verbal consent, and we document it. So again, in Illinois, anybody being below the age of 18 does not need any parental consent for STI, HIV, or pregnancy related services. You know, I don't have any data on that, but I know personally the initial refusal rate for me it's pretty high, but then I always kind of rebuttal and I try to, you know, do a quick little educational spiel and really encourage and just say, you know, we're going to draw your blood anyway, so you're not going to notice what's going on. Yes, ma'am. Correct. So we think that the patients were just not being identified as eligible for having an HIV test, and we just didn't really have a culture to push for the test. We did have some internal data, yes, on which clinician, and we used that more for kind of a QI, internal educational thing. We didn't publish specifically which supervising physician did or did not feel that eligible patients needed HIV test or not. So we have to. So if a patient, that specific data, I know we analyzed it, but I don't have it with me. But I know that there's instances where someone will come in. You know, I have a discharge. I don't want any blood drawn. I will urinate in a cup. We can do direct GC chlamydia on that, and give me the shot, give me the pill. I'm out the door. My party starts in an hour. I don't have time to be, you know, fooling around here. And we see that a lot. People come in dressed, go out. You know, hey, I know what I have. I've had it before. Very kind of on-demand medicine, you know. So that's what could be kind of a thing where we do have a lot of youth that are very strong-headed, and we try to incorporate. And now I think because of the education, because of maybe we felt a little intimidated before in trying to push it. Like I said, it's a personal kind of thing. I do know that the rates are definitely higher now, but I know we did analyze that data, but I did not bring that with me. I don't remember what the exact number was that was. But I know we did have that instance where we had discharge, we did do a UA for GC chlamydia, we did treat, but because we didn't do a venous puncture, we didn't do Hep B, and we couldn't do HIV or syphilis.
All right, thank you very much. And again, Dr. Osweinfeld and the others will be up here after the other people.